All right. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Yeah, Father, we do thank you for this evening. We most of all thank you for your mercy that you showed to our state and our nation last night with the presidential election result. We say thank you for that. You showed mercy to our nation, and we do say thank you, and we do ask for your blessing upon this time as we look at the history of what's going on and how we as Christians should view this. And I ask that you would help us to understand and to just appreciate what we are witnessing. In Jesus' name, amen. I told my brother last night, I said, if we hear the name Grover Cleveland, that's a really good sign. Because Grover Cleveland was the president in the late 1800s. A lot of people don't know about him. But Grover Cleveland won his first election in 1885 and served his first term till 1889. In the 1889 election, Cleveland lost his re-election bid to Benjamin Harrison. As Cleveland was leaving office, he told Benjamin Harrison, I'll be back in 4 years. 4 years later, Cleveland's words came true. In the 1893 election, Cleveland defeated Benjamin Harrison in the rematch. So the people looked at which 4 years was better, and they decided it was better under Grover Cleveland. So Cleveland was the 22nd and 24th president of the United States, and Donald Trump is, of course, the 45th and 47th president. So the only two presidents in history have won two non-consecutive terms. It just doesn't happen. It's just such a rare thing. Usually when someone loses, they're done. It takes someone with a lot of resolve to come back 4 years later and run again. What happened last night was truly remarkable. And before I get into the recent, let's look at Donald Trump, the man. I want to do a little bit of history about him. Trump became well known in New York City because he was a successful real estate developer. He became a multi-billionaire through his business success. The American people and people around the world got to know Trump the best through his TV show, The Apprentice. It's interesting. Trump actually, if you look back at old movies and TV shows, he makes a lot of cameos. The media used to love Donald Trump, but you have to understand that. This was a man that they thought he was funny. He had a big personality. They wanted him on their programs. They used to love Donald Trump. So it's important for us to understand that as we think about what he's done. So The Apprentice started in 2004, and this was a top show that aired on the conservative network NBC. I'm just kidding, of course. But going back to the 80s, it's interesting that Trump, on numerous occasions, was asked, are you going to run for president? He always seemed like a guy that would run for president, and he'd always make his opinions known about issues in society and foreign policy and things like that. You know, he'd call in to Fox News and say, he'd talk about different things, but he would always be asked the question, are you going to run for president? And every time he was asked this question, he didn't say no, but left the door open that he might do so someday. What's interesting about Trump's ascendancy to the presidency is that it has come at an old age. Typically, when someone is almost approaching 70 years old, they don't run for president. Reagan did that, but it's rare. This doesn't usually happen. In June of 2015, that famous scene, right, where he's going down the escalator, at the age of 69, Trump announced that he was running for president. When Trump declared for president, he went against, do you guys remember this? 15 candidates in the Republican Party. I remember that. The first debate was in Cleveland in August of 2015. All 16 candidates were on the stage, and I remember watching it with my parents and Brianna. We were laughing because it was entertaining because Trump was on the stage, right? And like all these other debates were kind of boring, but with Trump there, it was always so interesting. And of course, at that time, I didn't take him seriously, and a lot of people didn't take him seriously, but Trump remarkably outlasted all of them and went up against Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election. And if you remember, the polls showed that Trump was going to lose, and he was down big numbers in the most important states. But to the surprise of many, Trump won. When Trump took office in January 2017, his 4 years in office were years of prosperity for America and safety around the world. It seemed that there was no reason that he should lose re-election. And we all know the story of November 2020. And on a day like today, I feel bad for even bringing us back to that dark time. So forgive me for doing this. But as we think back to the dark time, it will make us that much more grateful for where we stand right now. I mean, think about, let's apply this to a spiritual reality. The good news of what Christ did at the cross, how much greater it is knowing what we have been rescued from. I mean, how much more grateful we are, how much brighter the light shines when we look at the darkness that we were once in, when we belonged to the devil, when we were in our sins. Right, so as we look at 4 years ago, it was a very dark time. In November 2020, this COVID year, we all went to bed thinking that Trump was going to win because he was ahead in Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. But when we woke up the next morning, we woke up to some really bad news. It didn't look good. Days went by, and the Democrats had enough votes to overtake Trump. Now, what took place, I know this is so politically incorrect, please understand this, but I'm just going to tell you the truth. What took place was highly questionable. In this COVID year, there were a large number of mail-in ballots that evil people took advantage of. It didn't make sense that Trump, who had so much enthusiasm, I mean, selling out crowds, 50,000 people going to see his rallies, so much enthusiasm, a successful term as president, it didn't make sense that he would lose to a rapidly aging, washed-up Joe Biden who had cognitive issues. It was said that Joe Biden hardly left his basement, but the results came in, and there's strong evidence to suggest that enough ballots were put forth to shift the election toward Biden. Yeah, I've personally have examined the evidence and am persuaded that what happened last night was Trump has gone back to back to back. I truly believe that. So I'm just gonna be really transparent about that. A guy by the name of David Clements. He was a professor at New Mexico State University. And he actually got fired during COVID. So you're noticing the pattern of the kind of people who are after the truth. But David Clements really showed, with, I think, irrefutable evidence to show that the shenanigans that took place 4 years ago. And it's not shocking when you think about it, that a Democratic machine that's okay letting a baby die on an operating table and just really has no sense of morality would have no problem stealing an election. I remember Rush Limbaugh one time said, they don't think that they should have to go through elections. I mean, their cause is so noble that the end justifies the means. If we can get there, no matter whatever way we need to get there, we just need to get there. So we don't need elections. I remember Rush Limbaugh saying that. I'm like, yeah, that sounds about right. I think about what Rush Limbaugh would think if he was here today. But in protest, Trump scheduled an event on January 6, 2021. This is the day when the elections get officially certified. Trump planned a rally in Washington, D.C., where a million people came. Were any of you there? Were any of you at the Capitol on... someone I was talking to yesterday was there. That was Patrick. Okay. Yep, January 6th, 2021. So Trump spoke and told the crowd to peacefully protest. Okay, those were his words. And we know how the story goes. As people went to the Capitol, a crowd rushed into the Capitol. It was suspicious because certain men were, the day before, were saying, we're going to storm the Capitol. And the Trump supporters around the person called the person. They said they shouted, "Fed, Fed, Fed, Fed!" Like they're like, "This guy is he's trying to cause problems that we don't want to cause." One of them was Ray Epps. Ray Epps to this day is the only person who said, "We're going to storm the Capitol," like it was a planned thing. And yet, Ray Epps has not spent one day in jail. He's been charged with nothing. Very suspicious. Now, hundreds of Americans were put in jail and charged with crimes because of what happened on January 6th. But as I mentioned, it wasn't just Ray Epps, other men who were kind of the chief agitators that day, nothing happened to them. And so we have to ask the question as Christians, we're people of the truth, what happened? We have to look at all the facts, not the media narrative that they want to spread. Not only this, but the Capitol Police Force was incredibly thin that day, and it was Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi's responsibility to make sure there was a large enough police force. There was not nearly enough police there. So rational people look at this and think that just like what happened at the election in November, something fishy happened here. Okay. And what I call this is the biggest frame job in American history. Certain people were in the wrong place at the wrong time, and the corrupt federal government needed to make this look really bad because they're out for one mission. We need to destroy Donald Trump. So they charged all of these people with silly crimes, and they called it an insurrection. Now, some people may have actually done some things wrong. I'm not denying that. But was it an insurrection like they were calling it, like the media was calling it, like the Democratic leadership was calling it? And if you remember, this wasn't that long ago. Everyone turned on Donald Trump, just about. He was one of the least popular people in America 4 years ago, or that January. And as this happened, we found out who was truly loyal to him and who used Trump to ride his coattails to the top of American government. Many Republicans quickly distanced themselves from Trump. The elites in society and those who believed him called him the leader of an insurrection. They said that January 6th will be remembered as one of the darkest days in American history, along with days like December 7th, 1941. What happened on that day? Pearl Harbor. And September 11th, 2001. This day will go down in history. Remember them saying, Democratic leaders saying such things? They said December 7th, 1941, September 11th, 2001, and January 6th, 2021. So this is what they spread. This is what the mainstream media wanted you to believe, and this is what many in the Republican Party even went along with, sadly. There were many evangelical elites who also publicly denounced what happened on January 6th, and they too called it an insurrection. People were quick to say, you know, I was okay with people supporting Donald Trump, but this was just too far. We have to acknowledge our mistake and move on from this guy. What followed is that the election was certified by Vice President Mike Pence, and Joe Biden took office on January 20th, 2021. And I remember walking to the Mattson Building for Wednesday night Bible study, just thinking, what a dark time we live in. And just you could just feel the darkness. And thinking about this right now sends chills down my back. And it probably does you, too. So I'm sorry to bring you back to such a dark time and such a happy day. But what has happened over the last 4 years in America is a country in decline. The economy has gone backwards. We became no longer energy independent, but dependent on nations like Saudi Arabia and Venezuela to provide our fuel. And when you get fuel from other places, it just raises the costs. It makes us dependent on people we don't need to be dependent on. Biden's first day in office, with one stroke of the pen, stopped the Keystone Pipeline. 12,000 jobs were lost, and we were moving away from energy independence. Because of these increases in gas prices, the cost of everything else has gone up. The middle class became much poorer under Biden than Donald Trump. Right? Does anybody feel richer over the last 4 years? I think not. Not only this, but there has been chaos around the world because of weak leadership. There was the Afghanistan debacle, where we suddenly removed our troops and our enemies in Afghanistan got our supplies. I mean, I'm not a rocket scientist when it comes to military tactics, but I don't think that's the way to go, right? There was the war in Ukraine that started in February of 2022, where Russia invaded Ukraine. Under Trump's presidency, Putin did not do this. But under Biden's presidency, he did. We need to note that. Then there was October 7th, 2023, where Hamas invaded southern Israel in the Gaza region. This was a terrorist attack that happened under Biden's watch. We can say this because when America has Israel's full support, it makes Israel that much stronger, and attacks like these are far less likely to happen. We also have seen Biden's Title IX policy, where boys are able to play girls' sports and even be protected as they go in girls' bathrooms and locker rooms. These policies have caused many parents with children in the public school much heartache. And we've seen that in the St. Croix Falls school district and in our local school district. Just the insanity of this. Like, why is this even being discussed? But this is a policy put forward under the Biden administration. On top of this, you have the crisis of the southern border, the immigration crisis, where about 20 million illegal immigrants have come in to America. Many of these, at least a decent amount, are dangerous. And gangs bringing in fentanyl, causing lots of problems in America, taking away jobs from people for cheap labor. I mean, you can just go on and on the effects of illegal immigration when they come in at the southern border. Now, I want to briefly go back to the end of 2020 when Trump supposedly lost that election. Once again, this was the time when it looked like Donald Trump would forever be seen as an American villain, as the elite so badly wanted him to be seen. I remember people like Ken Burns and David McCullough. I mean, just these guys are supposed to be credible historians, just completely casting him in the most negative possible light. And around this time, this is back when Rush Limbaugh was still alive, and I was listening to Rush, and I'll never forget this. He started to talk about what Republican candidate might challenge in the future, might challenge Biden or whoever was the Democratic candidate in 4 years. And he said the most likely candidate will be Donald J. Trump. Rush Limbaugh said that. This was right after all this was happening. So Limbaugh knew what he was talking about. And as I heard this, I laughed. I laughed because I knew how much these evil elites would hate this. And Trump is historically someone who doesn't back down. And I also laughed because Trump would be 78 years old. Would he really do this? Would he really run again at that age? The answer is yes, he would. Now, how many of you heard of Trump's book, The Art of the Deal? That's his most famous book. You know, he's a business dealer. I mean, he's a deal maker. That's what made him successful. He's a deal maker. The Art of the Deal was written in 1987. I don't think he actually wrote it, but it's his book. There's another book written titled The Art of the Comeback. Anybody heard of that one? Written in 1997. At this time in the 90s, Trump was at rock bottom. He had a $900 million resort in Atlantic City, New Jersey, that declared bankruptcy, and his wife divorced him. He was at rock bottom. Many counted him out and said, "You're not going to hear from this guy again." But he made a comeback, and he made a big comeback. He got his business back on track, and then the hit TV show came out in 2004. What's it called? The Apprentice. And some say that J.D. Vance is his apprentice now. Trump was once again a successful multi-billionaire. Now, to be clear, I'm not saying that this was all noble. He has done lots of bad things that we as biblical Christians would condemn. But these points I am making are significant as we think about this historical moment we are living in. The history of Donald Trump tells us about the present day Donald Trump. Whenever you look at a man, you have to look at their past. what makes them who they are? Are we talking about the Reagan film? I loved how they were showing his whole life. This is what made Ronald Reagan a good president. All these things. He was a lifeguard. He was a football player in college. He was a play-by-play commentator. He was an actor. And then in the acting industry, he went after the communists within the acting industry in Hollywood. And this is how he ended up running for governor, and then eventually he came into the presidency. So Trump has always been one who doesn't back down from a challenge. That's been his history, and we've seen that this go around as well. After the election in 2020, Trump was at rock bottom. Right? This was even lower than the 90s rock bottom that he was in. Those politicians who turned on Trump made the miscalculation of a lifetime. Okay, if you're into politics just to climb the ladder and be calculated, I tell you what, this was the miscalculation of a lifetime. Do you see a political future for men like Chris Christie and Mike Pence? There's no political future for these guys because Trump is incredibly popular again, and they turned on him. They rode his coattails, and then when he became inconvenient, they, to a certain extent, in some cases, I think with Chris Christie, very strongly turned against him. It looked like America, this America built on biblical principles, was dead after the 2020 election. I was talking to my brother, and I told him, if Harris wins this election, we'll trace the end of America back to 2020. Okay, so for the last 4 years, we're in the dark. Is America over? Think about this. Are we done as a nation? We found out last night we are not done as a nation. I mean, think about that. Yeah, praise God. Thank the Lord for his mercy. It looked like our republic, as we knew it, was lost and maybe lost forever. But Trump made a comeback just as he did in the 90s. He was at rock bottom. He picked himself up, and brighter days were there in the future. He did all of this knowing that these evil elites, I mean, you can call them the deep state, you can call them the globalists, whatever you want to call them, they would try to destroy him if he ran again. And they did as he ran for re-election. Once again, they tried to throw him in jail. They invaded his house in Mar-a-Lago, Florida. And then, of course, what happened on July 13th, where Trump narrowly escaped being assassinated. It's one of those things. What does common sense tell us? Is a 20-year-old able to just show up at a rally, get past security somehow, climb on a building, and then they're only, then have several shots at Donald Trump? And I think the answer is there's more involved here. Okay, that's what common sense tells us. And so Trump faced all of this. And by the way, there was a second and third assassination attempt on his life as well. And Trump said this. He said that God spared him that day. God spared him. Trump turned his head just at the right time, and that bullet hit his ear. So as we stand here after an election victory for Trump, we need to think about that. I think as Christians, we look at that and we say, on July 13th, we probably should have known he's going to win. God spared this man. And then last night just confirmed it. What an amazing thing it is to look on this, that the Lord is not done with this man. This, again, as I mentioned a couple Sundays ago, a very unlikely man. But still, the Lord has used people like this historically, right? We talk about he used Samson. He used Cyrus. He's used Artaxerxes, different leaders for different reasons. You know, and it may be that Trump does bow his knee to Christ for sure in the future, but we'll see. But once again, let's look at Trump's first term in office. Why does the Lord look down on him with favor? Through this man, Roe v. Wade was overturned. He appointed three justices, and those three justices were needed to overturn Roe v. Wade. We had energy independence, where gas prices were low. The border was much stronger. Included in this is fighting against the sex trafficking industry. He declared Jerusalem the capital of Israel as the embassy was moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Trump fought for Christians as they were held captive by corrupt governments all over the world. We watched the film for one of the guys who was held captive. I can't remember the guy's name, but during Trump's first term, he put in place biblical policies and defended God's people, Jews and Christians. What more do we want from a governing leader? Okay, think about that. Let me ask that again. What more do we want from a governing leader? Someone who is for us. Someone who wants to defend our liberties. Now, would it be nice if he was this rock-solid Christian? That would be great. But this side of heaven, we should not have that high of expectations. Okay, this side of heaven, we should be like, this is pretty good. Okay, let's take it. And let's rejoice that we have it. All those Christian leaders who still are so critical of Trump and would never vote for him, I don't get it. Okay, I don't get it. It's foolish. It's downright foolish as far as I'm concerned. Even though there are things we don't like about Trump, he's the kind of guy we want to be our president. And last night and early this morning, the Lord was merciful to our nation as Trump early in the morning was declared the winner of the 2024 election. When that thing happened in Milwaukee, like, oh, there's a problem with the machine. I'm like, oh, no, here we go again. You know? How many of you were thinking about that when you heard that on the news? Like, here we go again. And then, thankfully, that didn't matter. So, but he won all 7 swing states, North Carolina, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, and Nevada. We talked about the Senate that the Republicans won. We talked about it looks like the House is going to stay with the Republicans, which is important because he has to be able to do things right when he gets there. And by the way, we have the Supreme Court too. I mean, this is a pretty good place to be as a nation. And this is a personal note. At the age of 37, I turn 38 next month. This is the first time I have ever been in a winning state in a presidential election. Okay? That's what's yeah. So I am proud to be a Wisconsinite. 30,000 votes, but it counts, okay? We got there, and finally, I feel bad for my family back home because my brother has never experienced that. He lives in Minnesota. My parents, I think the last time they experienced it was Richard Nixon in 1968. It's been a little while. So we should all be proud. Western Wisconsin, as Alan showed, did well. We outperformed 4 years ago. And an election only decided by 30,000 votes, we made a difference in Polk County, St. Croix County, and Burnett County. So, and Barron County did well also. Yeah, so I mean, just the counties right around us did better than 4 years ago. So praise the Lord for that. He didn't just win. All right. He just completed, and people have said this, and I believe it's true, the greatest political comeback in American history. To go from, you're an insurrectionist, we're going to blot this guy out of history, to he not only won, he won easily 4 years later. Because the last 4 years, the country has been in shambles, and people look at Trump's presidency and say, like, you know what, that was actually, it was better. Even if they believe the narrative in 2021, it was better. And so even people who don't even like him that much are like, yeah, you know what, I want more money in my pocket. I don't want an open border. I don't want to see all these wars all over the world. I want to see us strong at home. I want to see our liberties protected. We talked about the Equality Act, which is the goal of the Equality Act is to banish biblical Christianity. We were very close to having that pass in our country over the last 4 years. They were aggressively trying to pass it, but they failed. And by the way, the state of Minnesota, I think they won the House in the state of Minnesota. Yeah, they don't. I was watching a video a little bit ago. So the state of Minnesota has some balance. So that's good news. And by the way, Minnesota only lost by, I think, 4% which is very good in what's typically a pretty much a blue state. So, yeah, truly, it was the greatest political comeback in American history. I sent a message to the St. Croix Falls parents today, and I said that last night's result is going to go a long ways in helping with the Title IX policy, because they're not going to have to worry about it anymore. Trump, the first day in office, is going to strike that down, and this crazy Title IX stuff will be gone. So that's great news. So the people who should be most grateful in America today are Christians. On January 20th, we will have a president again who will protect our freedoms, who will be for us, not against us. We don't have to worry about the Equality Act passing. We don't have to worry about radical justices being appointed to the Supreme Court. Wouldn't that be funny if he appointed three more justices? The court would be like just a bunch of Trump appointees. We don't have to worry about these endless wars. I mean, I'm gonna make a prediction right now. Within a year, the war in Ukraine will be over. I think Trump's going to sit down with them. They're going to have to make concessions. Putin and Zelensky are going to sit across the table from each other. And I think even Zelensky is happy today that Trump won, because he just wants this war to be over. Trump's going to get in there. Okay, you're going to have to give this. You're going to have to give this. Let's end this war. That's my prediction. That's my bold prediction. We'll see if it happens. But I think that war is going to be over. What we're going to see in the Middle East is these terrorist groups like Hezbollah and Hamas. Hamas is already reeling after their leader died. Now they're very much reeling after Trump was elected. Iran, this was a really bad day for Iran. A really bad day for China. A really bad day for North Korea. So really, it was a bad day for the bad guys all over the world. Think about that. It was a bad day for illegal immigrants who just want to stay here and not follow the legal process of becoming a citizen. It was a good day for illegal immigrants who play by the rules because they don't like illegal immigration. We should expect to see the economy improve. I mean, Trump has experience. He knows exactly what he needs to do. He was there for 4 years. He's going to get in there, and we're going to see some changes. Christian schools are going to be protected better. Churches are going to be protected, like I said. So, I mean, this is really a positive day. Now, what we want as Christians is what 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4 says. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings, and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay, so think about that. We want leaders who let us lead a peaceful and quiet life. In other words, you know what's implied in this verse? Limited government. Just stay out of our lives. If someone commits a crime, okay, then the government needs to get involved. There needs to be some taxes, we understand that, but they should be lower than they are. Just stay out of our lives. I mean, that's what we want as American citizens. Calvin Coolidge, his famous line was, "My greatest accomplishment as a president was staying out of people's lives." Because he understood the Constitution limited his power. The Constitution greatly limits the power of a president. And so we want to see a president like that who's going to stay out of our lives. And we want a country where America, and this is what we need to pray for, where America once again is the light to the world. I don't just mean in like protecting nations and keeping the bad guys away from other nations. We want that, of course. But missions are in decline in America. As our country becomes more and more secularized, there's less missions. We want America to be a strong mission-sending country again. And you know what creates that environment? A government that's friendly to Christianity, where we can have more prosperity. We can have more churches. Our church, we have big plans for our church. Trump winning was really good for Eureka Baptist. because the economy is going to get better. We're going to do a building expansion. We're going to have even, I believe, even more money as a church to be able to support missionaries. Yes, I'm just thinking about all the positives that are coming from this election. And this is what many Christians prayed for. Christians prayed that we would have a land of peace and prosperity so that we can serve the Lord in such a way where the most people will hear the gospel and learn the Bible. And sometimes you hear Christians say, well, doesn't the church grow more when there's persecution? Okay, well, let me answer that. The church does grow when there's persecution because nothing can stop the gospel from spreading. But look at North and South Korea. North Korea, tremendous oppression, dictatorship. There's persecution there. The church is very small in North Korea. It's there. It grows. Look at South Korea. South Korea is a strong Christian nation. There's many, many, many more Christians in South Korea, which is a free nation, than in North Korea, which is a dictatorship. So I think that's a great place to look as we look at a free place where Christianity prospers. And it is true. If people can get materialistic, we can get distracted. That's true. That happens in that environment. But also, there's more Christians in America than pretty much any other country. I think pretty much any other country. And it's because of what? It's because of the government we have. It's a government that enabled Christianity to prosper. So think about that. A country that is built on religious freedom, where pastors can speak freely, where Christians can speak freely, where the gospel goes forth, where many people come to faith in Christ, where churches are built, where missionaries are sent out. That's what America has been for the last several hundred years. And may it be that strong again. So it would be foolish to vote for your persecutors. Think about it. We don't want to vote for our persecutors and just say, oh, bring on the persecution. But to vote for the Democratic Party would be to do precisely that. If persecution comes, we will stand with Christ. And during the last 4 years, there was persecution against Christians and American citizens who respect the Constitution. In fact, on these lists that they put out, guess what? Two books were considered such a threat on these lists that the government was putting out. The Bible. If you see a Bible, look out for these people. And the Constitution. This is happening in America. I mentioned the Moms for Liberty was on the domestic terrorist watch list. That group that values the Bible and the Constitution, yes, let's put them on a terrorist list. So if the Democrats, if yesterday went a completely different way and the Democrats had complete power, this country would be radically different than what it's going to be. And it would have been a situation where your pastor, you might be looking for a new pastor because I might be behind bars. But thankfully, for 4 more years, I'm safe. But if persecution comes, we will stand with Christ, right? But we do want an America, we want it to continue to be the nation that sends the most missionaries out. And we want to be a nation that maximizes Christianity through the freedoms that we have. Okay. Now, you might be wondering this. If the end is near, what in the world happened yesterday? It doesn't really fit the end times paradigm, does it? I'm asking that question as you are. You know, God works in ways we don't understand. We think we have it figured out. We think America's done. We think the rapture could happen any moment, and it still could. But God has a plan, and we don't exactly know what that plan is. So if you ask me, what's going on, Seth, my answer is, I don't know. None of us know. But it may be this. It may be that God is giving America and the rest of the world one final chance to find their refuge in Jesus before the globalists take over the world. Maybe we'll all have a good number of years left before the end comes. Maybe my kids will be able to grow up and graduate from high school in a country that is somewhat sane. That might be the case. And I'll tell you what, this country that my two children are growing up in, I am much more optimistic today than I was 4 years ago. Now, 4 years ago, Alethea was four, and Isaiah was almost 2 years old. And I'm thinking, what a dark world these kids are growing up into. It's going to be different than the world I grew up in. And so now today, I am much more optimistic. There are a lot of bright places in America. Think about the state of Oklahoma. I don't know if you guys heard this last night. I like watching the Fox News because I like Bill Hemmer. I love the board when he goes through the, he clicks on the counties. And the state of Oklahoma, since 2000, has been Republican in every single county. Think about that. Every single county in the state of Oklahoma has been red since 2000. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's 7 elections in a row. I'm thinking, I love tornadoes. I don't love going through them. I like watching from the safety of my home on a phone and knowing that I'm going to be safe. And I'm thinking, why in the world would anyone live in Oklahoma? Then I realized last night, I know why. Can you imagine living in a state where every county is red? Even Oklahoma City is red? I mean, it's unbelievable. But the Bible Belt has saved America. The Bible Belt is what has kept America from falling. These 12 states in the South, they have biblical values, and they vote accordingly. They vote the right way. And thankfully, in Wisconsin, we voted the right way this time, but we have a lot to learn from those southern states with the values. So, Keith, shout out to you. And although Georgia kind of is a swing state these days, but yeah, thankfully you got out of Colorado. Yeah, the marijuana state. But yeah, you can tell I'm happy to be in a red state this time around. So, yeah, so we have to understand we don't know what the Lord has in store. It might be one last hurrah where we just have one more chance of peace and prosperity to get as many people to Christ as possible. But 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9 says this about the Lord's character. We have to understand this about the Lord's character. Do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So the Lord keeps delaying and delaying and delaying because there's still more people to be saved. And the moment the last person is saved, that's when the rapture is going to happen. And then God's going to pour out His wrath on the earth. And when that happens, America, I believe, will be weak. Okay, so it may be still yet a number of years in the future after what we saw last night. We don't know for sure, but it appears that may be so. So with that in mind, I thought it would be helpful tonight to look at the history of Donald Trump. And let me say this about Donald Trump. It's like off limits to talk about his character. If we talk about his character, it has to be negative. Let me say something very controversial. Donald Trump has virtue. He has virtue in him. I'm not saying it's saving faith virtue, but he has shown virtue. How many 78-year-olds run for president and are willing to be thrown in jail and are willing to dodge bullets that are shot at him because he loves his country? So he's a patriot. And he has courage. He has steadfastness. I mean, these are biblical virtues, right? And you know, I think someone not born again can have these just by God's common grace. Now, and as Christians, we should definitely have these, right? Because we have the Holy Spirit working in our lives. But there is virtue in the man. And I think as he's gotten older, there's been more and more. And, yeah, so we should be very grateful for him. And, thank God for him. Thank God that God has been merciful to our nation. And I tell you what, I think Benjamin Netanyahu is probably one of the happiest people on planet Earth right now, huh? I saw his post. He said, the greatest comeback in political history. And he is thrilled. And yeah, there's a lot of people around the world. yeah, who are grateful today. So anyway, so I just wanted to go through that, and just my post-election thoughts. So Grover Cleveland, once again, you've met your match, and it's Donald J. Trump. And so yeah, we're gonna have Mark hit the end of record button here. Thanks, Mark. And at this time, we'll take some questions or comments. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Yeah.